This episode of the See You Next Summer podcast is brought to you by Zencastr. We love the quality of Zencastr. We mostly use it about the high quality of the audio recordings, and it will always help us to sound our best. We have used Zencastr for more than 2 years. We love it. So right now, this episode is brought to you by them. We have an offer right now. Go to Zencastr.com/pricing and use our code CUSEEYOU, and you will get 30% off of your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same experiences that we do for all of your podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story, any kind of podcast, from cooking, movies, TV shows. We highly recommend you. So please go to Zencastr.com/pricing. Use our code CUSEEYOU and you'll get 30% off of any Zencastr pay plan. Welcome to the See You Next Summer podcast. I'm Rod Rodriguez. And here's me with me, the Miss Honey to my trunch bowl, Billy Powderham.
Hooray! You were actually nice to me.
Did I?
Yeah, what's up, guys? So, quick correction. We have 5 weeks in April, and because we release these every Tuesday. My stupidity thought there was only four. So, we do have an extra movie for you. We will announce what that is at the end of the episode. But for now, let's talk about one of the probably the most just as beloved as Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Matilda, specifically the 1996 yes. version with Mara Wilson.
I think it's very beloved by a lot of millennials. I mean, like, it is a millennial movie.
Because the way that this movie came, like, it's a cult favorite, mm-hmm. for sure. It did not do well at the box office. Mm-hmm. And it only started gaining popularity. I remember seeing it more on VHS and DVD more than anything.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
it was one of those movies that just like it's a Wonderful Life scenario where
Mexico,
it was just
they were playing it like every 2-3 months on national TV.
Yeah, and it was just the word of mouth mm-hmm. just slowly spread, and now it's considered one of it's a classic.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's also, another thing, like it's exactly like you said, it's kind of like this a Wonderful Life of our generation, though. Because it's a movie that also does the other thing. I have an argument that I think Matilda is also one of those movies that it feels timeless. Because you know what? Technology doesn't revolve around the plot, though. Like, there's nothing, not a lot, though. Only the thing about the...
Except for one thing that might be obsolete, and that is...
I was going to say that. I was like, I know they're going to bring that up.
Unfortunately, because some of my best times, I'm such a nerd. Or at the library. I remember...
Oh, I thought you were talking about Pee-wee's, like, the way that he records
things. Ah, yes. The, we'll talk about that as well. But, yeah, based on the 1961... Wait, is it 61? Let me just make sure. Based on the 1988 novel. So, this is actually relatively close.
Really close to the adaptation? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, or like close to the release.
Mm-hmm.
And directed by Danny DeVito.
Mm-hmm.
He also stars in the movie as well.
And the narrator, too.
He is the narrator. And we got to talk about how much we love Danny DeVito. No stranger yes. to this podcast, obviously. If you've listened to Batman Returns.
Yes. He's one of his greatest performances.
As the Penguin.
Mm-hmm.
Literally because he's a really short guy. Our short king. Like,
when I talk about Danny DeVito, there's always things that pass in my head. Him dying Mars Attacks by the watch. I have a Rolex! Matilda. Throw Mama off the train.
Twins.
And Twins.
And Batman Returns.
And, but I
and
Batman
then for me, again, it's Batman. Always Sunny in Philadelphia as Frank. Mm-hmm. He literally saved that show from being canceled.
Oh, and the stripper from Friends, Phoebe Stripper. From...
Either way, the point is Danny DeVito's an icon and, from all accounts, a very sweet man. Especially during this production, if you know any of the behind-the-scenes stuff. Mm-hmm. And he is Mr. Wormwood. Harry Wormwood. He is the literal trashy used car salesman.
Yes. And a piece of garbage of a person.
Yes. And then his wife.
Real wife at the time.
Zinnia, played by Rhea Perlman. They're still legally married, but they have separated and they have not really been married for years. But they're still friends and stuff. So,
I mean, they were married for like 4 years.
And they literally just had Matilda, just for the, by accident.
It stated right there in the narration. It was by accident. And I love the first joke that they sell, like, $5,000. What are they going to do? Repossess the kid? I'm like, that is true, though. What happens if you don't pay the hospital bill? I mean, like, I know they will go into the credit union shit. But he has a good point. Well, they repossess Matilda. And I love the narration. Says they live in a very nice neighborhood in a house, but they were not good people. The Wormwoods were so wrapped in their arrogance that they didn't even notice that they had a daughter.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And she has an older brother, Michael, who is also terrible. Mm-hmm. And then we have Matilda as well. Well, first of all, her last name is Wormwood.
I always had a theory that Matilda, that the wife had an affair since I was a kid. That was not his kid. I always had that theory.
And then they were just like, Mr. Wormwood would go sell cars. Michael would go to school. And Mrs. Wormwood would go play bingo. They would leave Matilda at home to fend for herself. But luckily, Matilda is a very gifted girl. Very intelligent.
And also is very intelligent. But also she has developing telekinetic power. So you can say this is the PG Carrie.
But that's not introduced until halfway in the movie, which I think works to its benefit. Because even if you take the telekinetic powers out of it, movie still works.
That is true.
Because Matilda is smart.
Yes.
She makes pancakes for herself.
When she's two.
And she decided when she's two. And then I love that Mrs. Wormwood is just like, oh yeah, no, here's some SpaghettiOs in a can.
And I left some lasagna in the microwave. You will let that 2-year-old in with a microwave. My God.
But then she plucks up the courage to go to the library, which is on the other side of town.
I always had a theory that was kind of like Pasadena. Well, maybe because they're filming Pasadena, but I'm like, how never she got taken? She got so lucky, though. Like, so many times because they said that she walked 10 blocks to get to the library.
And I, especially for now 6-year-old Matilda, that's a long way. When you're younger, your legs are much smaller as well, so that probably felt like 20 blocks to her. But you know what? It was worth it, because she went to the library.
I love when she gets a library card.
I love that the librarian is literally just like, hey, you can get a library card, and then you can just
take them home.
But the thing was, Matilda didn't want to go home. She went to the library. That was her happy place. She did that intentionally. I would like to think that Matilda knew that.
And that's the other thing that I also like that the movie doesn't tell you, but you already know that Matilda thought about this. I'm like, did Matilda know the schedule of their parents, like, precise schedule? Because what if she gets distracted by reading a book and she didn't went back on time? But I know that they've always stated that Matilda is so smart, so maybe she thought about that. Because I was like, what if the mother didn't play bingo the whole day? What if she ran out of the fucking the markers? I was like, there's a lot of variables that I'm thinking of right now. And I was like, but still, this movie is very sweet, though. But then the other thing that his father, Mr. Ward, was so sleazy. He can put out trash and just, like, the thing that he does with the cars, like putting sand on the gas tank or ripping out the mile tracker to make it lower, to sell it fast, to sell it expensier, to put up glue, like Gorilla Glue, into, like, the metal parts. I was like, bastard.
By the way, All of that stuff is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot do that legally.
And it's also stated right away that he buys illegal parts.
Yes, to the fact, but he's also very sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he gets the attention of the FBI.
Yes.
Specifically just two agents. One of them, played by Pee Wee Herman himself, Paul Rubens.
Yes.
So that's another Tim Burton connection.
Another Tim Burton connection. And he was his father.
He's just canonically the Penguin's father.
Yes. Because
he's played the Penguin's dad twice.
Uh-huh.
In two separate things. And
yes.
Matilda just, she manages to read everything, and then she works her way up to Charles Dickens for a six-year-old girl mm-hmm. that is very advanced. Six-year-olds don't read David Copperfield. I can tell mm-hmm. you that. And those are long books. Mm-hmm. They're great books. But they're also a little difficult for some people. I'm glad that they didn't just go, oh yeah, she's reading War and Peace, which is one of the most infamously long books in history. But she,
mm-hmm.
yeah, she learns more and she soaks up knowledge quite easily. We got to talk about Mara Wilson because she became one of the most famous kid actors for only two movies, like two big movies, really.
Mm-hmm.
This was one of them. The other was the remake of Miracle on 34th Street. She was the main girl there. And she's got like this.
And for me, because I'm one of those people that watch that movie, I'm a simple witch.
I knew you were going to bring up A Simple Wish.
You know that I like that movie. You know that I like that movie. That's a Raul movie.
I know why you love that movie.
Yes.
And that was like, that was just like when she was trying to, you know, still act and everything. Mm-hmm. But she's got like the space between the teeth mm-hmm. and the small lisp and everything. And she's cute. She's having a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, what are you doing here all day? And she's like, you're not putting me into school. I'm 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I not in school? And they're just like, because we just don't want to pay. Even though they do that to her brother, but they don't do that for her.
That's the thing. The brother technically goes to school. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. I know. I remember why. Because she needs to be there to sign the packages.
Mm-hmm.
So she's essentially a pack mule.
Yes, I was gonna say that. I was like, wait a minute, so how did the postage people trust a little girl to sign for the packages? What, isn't there like a rule that a child cannot sign for packages? I remember I reading about this like years ago.
So his logic is flawed.
Uh-huh.
And so she gets so fed up that she's just like, okay, fine, I'm gonna cause some trouble. So she puts bleach in the
his hair, right?
In his hair tonic.
Yes, hair strumming.
And then glues the hat to his head.
I love like that, that cafe restaurant. That sequence, the way that Danny DeVito moves the camera between the desserts, and the way that he flops on top of Matilda, and then
the only reason why they were going out to dinner was because Mrs. Wormwood won some bingo. Yes. So they're like, we're gonna eat out.
Mm-hmm.
And then how everything just, how the dessert just lands perfectly
mm-hmm.
in front of her. And then and then plop right in the brother's face. So uh-huh. basically they all just embarrass themselves except for her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And as a result, they're watching a game show where you get glued and then, or it's like sticky money.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're supposed to catch the money in like the big, one of those big fan things.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like completely covered in glue. So the whole idea.
Notice the cameo, the host, John Lovitz.
And.
But then he starts a very interesting argument, Mr. Wormwood. I was like, are you in this family? And I was like, because we're watching TV, you should not be on your book. I was like, but I don't want to watch this show. And then
reading Moby Dick, by the way.
She's reading Moby Dick. And then she's like, and you're gonna watch this, and you're gonna be a part of this family. And then I love the acting between Mara Wilson and Danny DeVito in this movie. The way that she looks at him, I was like you just destroyed a part of my soul when she destroying the book. She says, I need to give it back to the library because it's not hers. I love that little moment right there.
And then the ha 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 and the close-ups of everything and the close-up of the eyes as it just gets, she's just looking at the TV so much that boom, it explodes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first sign like, oh, did Matilda do that?
And that's why I'm telling you that this could be a Carrie kind of movie. Because remember, Carrie's mother, We never got revealed exactly who the father was, though. It was like just a guy that the other side happened. And I think that because Rita Wilson behaves a lot like Peggy Bundy from Married with Children, and she like Peggy also like to be play bingo, something happened at the bingo hall. That's my theory that Matilda has another father.
Wait, it's not Rita Wilson, it's Rhea Perlman.
Sorry, Rhea Perlman. Yeah, and so Rhea Perlman, she had an affair, and that guy had powers and incapacity to Matilda.
Yeah. Also, Rhea Perlman, famous for Cheers.
Yes.
Which is a great show. Yeah, I mean, it's one of the all-time greats.
That is a franchise that's still going.
Yeah, thanks to the revival of Frasier, which in and of itself is a spinoff. The only successful spinoff, because there was another one with Rhea Perlman that only lasted not even a year. But what does happen is Mr. Trunchbull sells a car to...
No, she buys a car.
I screwed up. Mr. Wormwood sells a car to the most memorable villain in this movie, Miss Agatha Trunchbull, played by Aunt Marge from Harry Potter.
My God.
Pam Ferris. She's great.
She's amazing. She knew what kind of role it was. And I think that Danny DeVito gave her no direction. I think it was all her.
And she is a tyrant principal at Crunchham Hall Elementary School.
Yes.
And basically sold a car to admit Matilda as a student.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, Matilda goes and meets other students, including her best friend, Lavender. And these kids are adorable. They're really sweet. And you know what? They're not bad actors either, mm-hmm. because they're just supposed to be kids.
Yes. But also, I love that Matilda, the narrator, says, like, and Matilda imagined the most beautiful school with trees and seats and like swings. And then it sees that school. Well, at least it's a distraction. She was still accepted as a school. And I was like, what about it? Then Lavender says, well, what is it about her? Miss Trunchbull doesn't like people to get hidden from her. She's so powerful because she used to be in the Olympics. She did javelin, hammer throw. And what happened last week in the winter? She throws a kid out the window the first time. It's a lot of time that she does this. And then we get the meme that became famous a few years ago. Little Amanda with her pigtails. I was like, what are those? I was like, those are my pigtails. My mommy said they're cute. And I was like, well, your mother is, she's dumb. And then grabs her by the pigtails and runs her up all the way like throwing a rock. And I love the way that she flies. I also think that Matilda made her not to get dead by the spikes. I think she made her jump a little bit. And then to land safely.
Oh, yeah. Because they were like, oh, shit. I hope she doesn't get impaled on the fence post. But no, she just lands perfectly. And as she's going down, she grabs a bunch of flowers stuff. So she turns out okay. Brings the question. They establish very quickly that Miss Trunchbull hates children.
Yes.
And so why in the flying fuck is she a principal of a school? That's the joke.
That's the joke. And also, this is the other thing. Has children died under Trunchbull's powers? That's the other.
Or behind Chokey.
Yes, the jigsaw trap. Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so Miss Trunchbull, Pam Ferris, suffered several injuries during the production of this. I'm going to bring up another one because it happens at the end of the film. But for this scene where she throws Amanda Thripp's by her pigtails, it required a harness to support the little girl, and the wires of which were threaded through the pigtails and then looped around her fingertips to give her the grip.
Uh-huh.
As she swung around, the centrifugal force, which basically means the force, it was too great, and it tore the top part of her finger.
Ah!
And it required 7 to 8 stitches. So essentially, it gripped her so tight that it ripped her skin off. But you know what? She did it like a champ. That's not even the worst injury that she got, but she did it for us.
Mm-hmm.
She did it for us. And
then,
this is why we also, we get introduced to the complete juxtaposition and one of the best, one of the most iconic characters of the 90s.
Yes.
Miss Jennifer Honey, played by Embeth Davids. Actually, not the first time she's been on this podcast either.
Ooh.
Remember when Army of Darkness?
Oh my god, yes, that was her.
And she's had a great career. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that in The Amazing Spider-Man, she's Peter's mother, Mary Parker. Yeah, seriously.
So technically Emma Roberts is not the first Mary Parker?
No. No, the first Mary Parker is Miss Honey from Matilda. Wow. And she is so sweet. She is appropriately very sweet, very nurturing, and naturally beautiful. A lot of people had a crush on Miss Honey.
And another meme, the way that she draws her glasses.
Oh, the glasses? Yeah.
The glasses, yeah.
When Matilda, because they're doing multiplication. And then I forget what she says specifically.
And she says like, oh, we can do like so many, like 3 by 7, 21. And then it was like, oh, but it's going to give them time for you to do like something like 13 by 379. And then Matilda says 49, 27.
And then she goes, I beg your pardon. She's like, at least I think that is. And then she does it. And then she puts the glasses down and just went, that's correct. She immediately knows Matilda is the sharpest tool in the shed. And just the classroom, too. It just looks awesome. You got this awesome chalkboard.
The colors.
Because whenever it's Miss Trunchbull, everything is dulled and gray. Did you notice that? Like, everything is, like, in blacks and grays. And it's always a close-up of her face. Like, she's the center of attention.
Yes.
But with Miss Honey, it's very much, like, wider shots. It's very inviting.
Did you notice that every time that there's a Trunchbull scene, there's a lot of Sam Raimi tilts?
Yeah, there's camera. There's that slight, it's not like a Dutch angle, though. Because that would just be ridiculous.
And then I love that the Miss Honey goes to see Trunchbull. And I love that Miss Trunchbull in her office, the chokey's in a corner. That she has a dart board with all of the photos of the children and she plays darts with them. I was like, okay.
That's a sign of a serial killer, you freak.
And then I was like, if you cannot handle the child, I will lock it in the chokey. The chokey, the best way that I can describe it, it feels like one of those gas chambers that you like for you like to for the warm heaters, but empty. And the door is full of spikes like in Sleepy Hollow.
Okay, so it kind of resembles something called an Iron Maiden. Not the band.
Like the one from Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, not the band. So it's basically, it's this torture device. It's a mythical torture device. It didn't actually exist. But it's an iron cabinet. In this case, yeah. With a hinged front and spike-covered interior. Essentially, it's just supposed to... When it's closed on you, you get impaled and stuff. It doesn't actually do that. And for this chokey, it's close to it. Like slightly just enough so that you don't get impaled. But it's behind a boiler room.
But what if it happened if the fat kid got in there?
Well, we don't like to think about that.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, what about the big kids? What about the big kids, Trunchbull?
Like Bruce, who I'm pretty sure is...
Bruno.
No, it's Bruce with his chocolate cake. I'm pretty sure that kid was the same kid in The Wedding Singer.
Ooh.
That danced with Drew Barrymore and grabbed her butt.
I'm
fairly certain. I could be wrong, but he's not super important. Essentially, the Wormwoods, everybody treats Miss Honey so terribly. Like, you feel enraged. Like, why would you do this to a woman that's just so soft-spoken, very polite, like, hello, how are you, may I come in? You're very well-mannered.
Mm-hmm.
And
but
then...
I'm gonna defend the Wormwoods in this one aspect, though. She came at 7, 8 p.m.
Yeah, that was weird. Why didn't she just call? That's the only thing.
Why didn't she show up like at 4 or 5?
To be fair, she probably just didn't have their number, but...
Uh-huh.
That might also be, like, Trunchbull might have kept her late.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know. Maybe she was grading papers. She is a teacher, after all. And the life of a teacher is not an easy one. But she comes by their house and is just like, hey, your daughter is smart enough to attend college.
Mm-hmm. And if you care about your daughter, turn off that rotten show and let me in.
And they were watching boxing. Mm-hmm.
And I love, then I was like, man, then the wife says, Miss Honey, I choose looks and you choose books. I have a house. I have a husband and good looks. And you teach kids there about their ABCs.
Yeah, there's also whenever Matilda was like, why can't I go to school, when she went to her dad's work? And he also said, I'm big, you're small. I'm smart, you're dumb. Mm-hmm. Don't ever talk to people like that, especially children, especially like your own child. Mm-hmm. Which, mm-hmm. like, Danny DeVito is so good at being mean and a sleazebag, which makes the behind the scenes great.
And it's weird, though, because Danny DeVito, he's always very charming in a lot of his characters. Yeah,
but he's also good at being, like a scumbag if he has to be. Mm-hmm. The short stature really does help sometimes. And during production of this movie, Mara Wilson's mother, unfortunately, had terminal breast cancer. So he took her under her wing, took Mara underneath his wing, was always very nice, like, after the take, like, are you okay, and everything. Was basically a surrogate father to her. And he managed to show her mother the final edit of the movie just before she died so she could see her daughter. So,
aww,
yeah, Danny DeVito, sweet. you're incredible. Like, I really hope he knows just how appreciated he is, not just as an actor, but as a man. Because you got a lot of good actors that are terrible people. But the best ones are the ones that mm-hmm. have good character. It just shows, it's awesome.
And then we get into the Bruce scene.
Oh, apparently one of the kids, Bruce, Bogtrotter, he ate a piece of chocolate cake. And this cake looks so delicious.
Yes.
Like, it looks so gooey and moist and just fluffy. Like, it'll literally melt in your mouth.
It looks like the definition of diabetes, but it looks amazing.
Yeah. She's just like, oh, have this big slice of cake. And then he's just like, okay. And was like, okay, waiting for the other shoe to drop. Assembled the whole school, by the way. Put him on stage. And then was like, okay, well, I baked.
Do you notice the fish islands of how we see the children from there? Like, you feel like this is Bruce's point of view. I really like that detail.
Then Trunchbull brings out this enormous cake that not even professional food eaters, I guarantee you, would not eat. It's, or be able to finish. It is cartoonishly huge.
And the lady,
And the lunch lady is so disgusting that I'm pretty sure that cake is contaminated.
And then and she's like, blood and sweat wedding to it. I was like,
Quite literally. Until,
for me,
for stealing a slice of cake, you gotta eat that entire cake, and you cannot leave until you eat every slice.
Nobody can leave. And also, another thing, maybe this is my interpretation, also because I used to be fatter, but I'm like, this scene is the perfect level between, oh God, and the perfect level of like, yeah, you can do it. Like, it's disgusting, but also cheerful at the same time.
And we got the music is swelling and everything, and Matilda's starting like, hey, let's cheer on Bruce. Yeah, come on, you can do it. And he does somehow do it. And because of that.
And I love when she celebrating with the plate, and it was like, yeah, and then Trunchbull got the bread and breaks it off his head.
Yeah, and then Trunchbull's so mad, she gives them all 5 hours detention as a punishment. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's illegal. Mm-hmm. And then Matilda, as she walks home, sees the FBI literally right across from their house, like on the same street and everything.
Not even in incognito.
Doesn't even bat an eye, just goes into the house and says, you know you're being watched, mm-hmm. like right now. And the dad just doesn't believe her. He's like, nah, you're stupid, everything. And then she's just like, all right, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then Trunchbull, of course, the car breaks apart as soon as she gets to the school. So she
throws Matilda into the chokey.
Yep, throws Matilda into the chokey. And Miss Honey rescues Matilda.
But I love how the children know that Trunchbull is coming and how they remove all of the color from the classroom. I like that detail that they had to take off all of the curtains, all of the drawings, change the board. They had to change all of the slides. I love how they had to do like a whole theater performance and how they changed everything to a regular classroom.
Yep. And they also got to get a huge pitcher of water because I guess when you sweat that much, you get thirsty. And Matilda, her friend Lavender Brown, who is played by a little black girl. No, it's okay though, because it's not like,
ow,
because Lavender is great, because she puts a newt in Trunchbull's water jug, which reminds me of the Monty Python joke of, oh, she turned me into a newt. A newt? I got better. Burn her anyway. Burn the witch. But how she didn't notice that giant newt sooner just makes it even funnier.
And I love when she says, it's like, my idea for perfect schools where there are no children at all. And then it was like, you should be teaching them about spelling, not poetry. And then she's drinking the water. And then she gets so angry. And it looks at Matilda, I'm big, you're small. Your father is a love light. In this classroom, I'm God.
And she gets so mad.
And that's when Matilda moves the glass.
She tips it over and it splashes the newt onto Trunchbull. And she's just like, like treating it like it's a spider.
Yes.
And then Miss Honey is just like, okay, you know what? Why don't you come over to my house and we could have some tea? And it's this
But before this, Matilda tells Miss Honey that she did. It just was like, I did do it, Miss Honey. I was like, let me try to tell you. And then tries to push the water jug. I was like, it doesn't
matter. Reminds me of Accepted. I can blow shit up with my mind.
I like the reference right there.
And Miss Honey,
ask me about my winner.
It's a great that's a great comedy.
Yes.
And anyway, back to the movie. Miss Honey is very much like, Matilda, you can't actually do that. And she's trying to be as nice as possible. Like, she's explaining it to them, her, like she's 6 years old. Because she is 6 years old. Or like 5 years old. You know, when you tell kids, you know, just because, or like, this is pretend, you don't do this. You gotta be very clear, because perception is a hard thing for children to learn, because they haven't learned it yet. They're children.
Mm-hmm.
And Matilda's like, no, it's real and everything. And then it gets to, is this where she trains?
The backstory.
Oh, no, this is the backstory, because Miss Honey invites her over for tea later. And to reveal her past. And her house is, or they pass by this huge house, which is Miss Trunchbull's. It's for a reason. And Miss Honey has this beautiful little cottage. And it's very much sunny, and I thought I was in Big Fish for a moment. I don't know why.
It is a very Tim Burton kind of sequence, that is true.
This is the second week in a row that we're mentioning Tim Burton and Big Fish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but we are. And yeah, she has some tea and she explains her mother died when she was 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then her father, whose name was she tells the story of, there was once this little girl, like, tells it like a fairy tale. And that this, the little girl's father, Magnus,
had a stepsister. Miss Trunchbull.
And look after her.
And I was like, you came from a home that they don't appreciate much. I know how that feels.
Yeah, and then Trunchbull abused her, obviously. Much like how Matilda is getting abused. But then Magnus died, apparently by suicide, 3 years later, under mysterious circumstances. It's implied that she killed him. Mm-hmm. They never explicitly confirm it. Which mm-hmm. I love. I love that it's ambiguous. It's up to your interpretation. But it's also, it's one of those read between the line situations. And supposedly,
also, how violent this movie is for a children's movie. I like, we know that she killed
him. And supposedly left everything in the will to Trunchbull. Very suspicious in telenovela. But then Matilda is like, oh, we gotta sneak in there because there are certain belongings that she would have. Like, there's this chest full of chocolates. After dinner, they would always have one chocolate. And they look awesome. This movie has a carries on surprisingly well from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with the chocolate.
And also in the devotional sweets, because we talk about the chocolate, the detail on the chocolate. But also it tells that thing about children, the thing that you said about perception, because the children always have like a different kind of like perception about Willy Wonka's factory, but then they learn their lessons. And I also think that this carries over, because I think Roald Dahl, this is what he likes. He likes to make learn lessons for children.
And he loves having the adults act more like kids than the actual kids. And then he does terrible people really well. They're cartoonish and over the top, but they also have that tinge of realness to them, because unfortunately there are a lot of families that are like that, where kids do get abused like that. Maybe not to that extent, or maybe to that extent, who knows, but like maybe not as over the top, but it's still there. Emotions are still there. And
yes,
Matilda is not like made of stone or anything. There are points, literally there's one point where she slams the door on her dad telepathically, and just, you know, she just cries because he just destroyed her book.
And also, I love the detail that Miss Honey tells her about, like, all of the dolls that she had, the Magnus pointing.
Yeah, what was the name of the specific doll that she wanted?
The damn name, like Lisa or something. I will look it up. Yeah, but I love that the whole thing about the doll. And also, this is my only thing about the movie, and I realize this when now that I'm an adult. I'm like, did Miss Honey, the way that she dropped the story, because I like to always think about subtext, maybe she knew that Matilda really had powers and she used her to get all of her stuff back. I know.
I don't think that. I think she just did that because she recognized Matilda was her. She's like, oh, this kid is just like me. And they get along very well. I mean, they both love Charles Dickens as well. And, you know, they're just two peas in a pod. And she's the mother that Matilda never had.
And then we see that I was like, we should go to the house to get your treasures. And then they see Trunchbull getting ready to go to the gym, like putting all of her stuff in the car. And then, but she sees a black cat and then kicks up the poor kitty. And then all the
yeah, because they say she's very superstitious.
And then they get in, they go to the house, they get away. It was like, come on, grab one of your chocolates. But I love the detail that Danny DeVito is putting right there, that they left the case open. The treasure chest of chocolates, they left it open.
That's not the only thing they left open, because Miss Honey was like, no, we can't take that. She counts them. But that's not the only thing, because, well, okay, first of all, this sequence is like 10 minutes long.
Yes.
And it turns into like a slasher movie because Miss Trunchbull comes home early. And it's this whole cat and mouse game.
Because the car failed.
Because the car failed. And it's this whole cat and mouse game of going around the whole house multiple times, too. So you really get that repetition of location. So you know where things are at. And my God, the stairwell to the basement is the filthiest thing I've seen. Like, clean your clutter, lady. Shit. And it turns into a slasher movie.
Yes.
Except without any knife or anything. Trunchbull is Michael Myers.
Yes.
And
literally,
Matilda and Miss Honey
in a corner, and
Laurie Strode.
Yeah. Is right over there. Like Halloween.
I was expecting dun dun
dun dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun.
No, you know what'd be cool? If Trunchbull would have drop out of the house, and then Matilda listen, and you can see here. But
yeah, but they do manage to escape. But Matilda accidentally leaves behind her ribbon.
But
her
also
red ribbon.
But I love when Prince Trunchbull destroys a pack of chains with her own whole hand.
They show just how freakishly strong she is.
And I love also Matilda on the table. The way that she's so little, but she fits on the table and she's just like waiting for Prince Trunchbull to move.
I was expecting the Mission Impossible thing where it's like the one bead of sweat.
Yes!
But what she does do, there was a portrait of Magnus. By the way, who has a portrait of themselves? Like, of just themselves? in your own house.
Was it 60s, though? It stated that Miss Honey is like 30.
Yeah, and where was I going with this? Oh, there was a different picture of Trunchbull of herself.
Well, painted, too.
Painted as well, oil painted. And she finds the... Matilda finds the Magnus portrait and telekinetically poses as, like, the vengeful spirit and scares Trunchbull. Because she sees a portrait just flying.
That's a lot of details before that, though. She hacks up the wires to make the electricity fail. She opens all of the windows for the window. And she thought about the production design and Matilda.
So that they could Emperor's New Groove it out the window. Yes,
and then she flies the portrait. But before she did the fire portrait, Matilda got the doll, got two chocolates, but she left the ribbon behind. That was the detail about the ribbon.
That is why she left the ribbon behind. She forgot to take it. And Matilda has this red ribbon. She's the only one that wears it.
In the whole school, yes. Too,
so they make it unique. Yeah, because there are other little girls that wear similar ribbons. Or same types, but she's the only one with the red.
And then Matilda goes to school and she catches Pee-wee trying to steal some of the packages. And he was recording everything. So Matilda distracts them by moving the car with her powers. And Matilda steals the tape and destroys it.
Which we also forgot the iconic scene of her practicing her powers.
Yes.
Because she was like, oh, shit, I got powers. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to practice.
And
we got... She's just turning on things, and it's just a very sweet scene. And something
that Chris Columbus stole, the wind that she moves the poker cards, and it feels like the letter T from Harry Potter. This was five years before, that's true, in 2001. I was like, wow. I put it in my notes, Chris Columbus stole from Matilda.
Yeah, but knowing that everything is practical makes it so much better, too.
But I love how she moves everything, like the poker, the dolls, the toaster.
All she has to do is just point her finger. It's all she does. How great would that be in real life? You just point your finger and telekinetic stuff happens. We would use it all the time. Anyway, yeah, she does that.
And also Matilda burns Miss Trunchbull's painting when she's made with him scaring her.
But anyway, back to the FBI agents, back to Pee-wee Herman. She manages to distract them because Mr. Wormwood is finally like, oh no, the feds are actually on me, and buys time and for him. And she manages to take the tape out, the cassette tape.
I really like that sentiment.
That's how you know this movie is dated. You know, for 1996, the year of my birth. Yeah, you feel old yet? I was there. Yeah, I wasn't even a year old. Does that make you feel pissed off?
I mean, you don't see Matilda in a Windows 94 computer. Stop it. No, but this is the other detail that I like, though. Matilda, even though she's not loved by her parents, she does scare, though. Because that's her only home. I do like that detail that she still says her father, even though he doesn't deserve it.
Yeah. And anyway, they force Trunchbull out of the house. Basically just scare her out of there. And that's when she sees the ribbon, too. And then the next day, Matilda returns the doll to Miss Honey. And then they go to the classroom. And is just like, no, I actually got powers this time. I'm going to show you. And then makes
the water pitcher.
The water pitcher just float in midair. And Miss Honey sees it and is like, okay, I believe you. But then Trunchbull visits the class.
Arrives, piss.
And then she stands up and takes the blame for the house incident.
And then because she says, I know someone got into my house. I don't know how. And then besides, it was me. Shut up, Jennifer. I broke your arm once and I can do it again. I'm not a child anymore. And Trunchbull. And all the child, telenovela gasp. And all of the children, like, they, no one knew. ¿Por qué?
Audible, shocked Pikachu face.
Lavender Pikachu right next to her.
Exactly. And then while that's happening, we see Matilda just telekinetically takes the chalk from the chalkboard. And
give
writes
my
a message.
Bumblebee her house back. This is madness, Agatha. Leave the town and get her money back. If you don't do it, yeah, I'm gonna get you like you got me. It's a promise. So Matilda already like...
Yeah, also, that was the nickname that her father gave to Miss Honey. Because also, her name is... What do bumblebees make? Honey.
Mm-hmm. So her name is Jennifer Honey.
Yes. And it's very on the nose. Roald Dahl is... Children's books are often on the nose. And what great handwriting, spacing, and paragraphing.
Yes, for telekinetic powers.
Especially when you consider this is a 6-year-old. Yeah, no, she is young Sheldon.
And she's moving the blinds and everything.
Hail Matilda, young Matilda.
Oh my god, this is the... Oh my god, goddammit, that is true.
Well, what that happens, what does... happen is basically like in A Bug's Life, they realize, oh, there's more of us than there are of her. We can just overpower her.
Mm-hmm.
And Trunchbull attacks mm-hmm. the class, literally is going to assault these people, throws one of the kids out, and then Matilda makes him fly, come right back in.
Mm-hmm. And makes come him right fly back like in. Superman?
The fact that nobody's like, who is doing this?
That's the thing. I love that no one does. You have a good point. No one cares about the powers of just.
Yeah, nobody cares. They just know that it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then Miss Trunchbull tries to lunge at Lavender, who gets telekinetically brought up mm-hmm. to the wood beam, and Trunchbull tackles onto a globe and then gets spun on the globe many, many times to the point where it's a ridiculous edit. There and then all that happens. Oh yeah, and the chalk, the eraser,
they all attack me. Trunchbull took over her.
They all attack Trunchbull at the same time, and it's full of chalk. That's the other injury
really?
That Pam Ferris had. So when she's getting whacked by the blackboard erasers, she was required to keep her eyes open, so the chalk dust got caught in her eyes. So and it necessitated several trips to the hospital to get her eyes washed out.
Oh, wow.
Because, yeah, if you get something in your eye, you gotta wash that out.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't really do that, especially when you mm-hmm. have to do multiple takes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the student body comes in.
Matilda releases all of the lunches to everybody, and everybody's a full fight, but it's like a strong role.
And they just, they let her have it.
Mm-hmm.
And the looks on their faces is great when she has to go through the whole sea of students.
And I love that Brucey gets his moment of putting chocolate cake yep. on her.
Right into that crappy car, which somehow still worked. And essentially, it forced her out of the school. Mm-hmm. And essentially, she fled town and never came back.
Mm-hmm.
So, Miss Honey gets her house back. And then
mm-hmm.
Matilda goes over there to visit. Or she's visiting, mm-hmm. but then...
The parents arrive.
Mr. and Mrs. Wormwood and Michael arrive. They collect because the feds are on to us. We're going to Guam.
And there was like, I want to stay with Miss Honey. And then Miss Honey was like, she's a spectacular child. I love her. And then Matilda made it. I had the adoption papers. I had them from a while from the library. I was like, wait a damn minute.
She planned well ahead.
I was going to say, Matilda Xerox that shit. Like, she went through all of the books. Xerox, she have everything prepared. I'm like, that's the other thing. Did she have a will? Like a will for her parents?
Well,
I know, but no. I'm talking about a will for the parents.
Well, no, she wasn't going to die. But when you're living under the roof,
mm-hmm.
well, I mean, when you live under a roof like she does,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if she spent prepared for this. I mean, she probably just thought immediately after meeting Miss Honey, oh, I'm going to see if I can make her my legal guardian. And so they do, they're like, no, not really, but we gotta go. But then Mrs. Wormwood, the one good thing she does, she openly admits this. She says, I'm sorry.
I always wanted to have a daughter, but I'm sorry how I treated you.
Yeah, she's the only one that apologizes.
Not him. Yeah.
To, and much like Aunt Petunia and Uncle Vernon in Harry Potter. See, because Harry Potter alumni, and we talked about that. It's like poetry, it rhymes. But she's like, do you have a pen? Signs it on her back. And then he's just like, all right, fine. I'll sign it. Because we gotta hurry. We go to Guam. Boom. And then we get that. Which I only know from this movie and Ice Age.
Yes! I forgot it was
I don't know what the hell they're singing. But you know, that song stapled the 90s. Mm. Staple.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens then is that Matilda lives happily with Miss Honey. She ends up becoming the new principal of Crunchham Hall. And they both got what they always wanted. A family. And she doesn't even use her powers anymore. Well, except on the rare occasion, like to grab a book. But she never uses her powers to hurt anybody. And we see like them just having a great time.
I want the Matilda sequel of her solving crimes like FBI style, CSI. That would be cool.
Very much.
But yeah, this is a really good movie. It's a really good movie.
You know, if we take 96 Mara Wilson as like a young Nancy Drew or Junie B. Jones, she could work for that.
She could have been the Enola Holmes.
No. No, we're not going to talk about those movies.
No.
We don't talk about those movies unless it's for Henry Cavill.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this movie's still good. It's still amazing. It has a lot of beautiful color. The direction by Danny DeVito is still great. Trunchbull is iconic.
Miss Honey's iconic.
It's a lot of things that is really good about this movie. It's a very dear movie for me as a kid. I got to experience it. I think I saw this movie in theaters. I think I saw it the first time in cable.
Yeah, that was how most people saw it. It still made past its budget, but not nearly enough. And then, yeah, it gained huge popularity on home video.
And also, just talking about nostalgia, because I like to talk about nostalgia about this, it's a TriStar movie. The damn horse is in the intro! The horsey!
That TriStar and Columbia logos in the 90s, they made great movies.
Yes.
Jumanji comes to mind
for me too.
Very much.
They visit Seattle. It's a Columbia picture.
Yeah, they were on fire.
Yes, they were. My best friend's wedding.
No, there's. It's just a look lot it of up. Stuff. It's great.
Yes.
The 90s for TriStar and Columbia/Columbia and now /Sony, whatever you want to call it. They had a great run.
Yes.
Like, really. And this is one of those movies.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did.
And yeah, it's surprisingly very close to the source material, although the source material takes place in London and all that stuff, and British writer and stuff. So if you want it more close to the actual book, you get the Matilda, the musical, and the recent movie adaptation, which is actually not bad. It's pretty good.
I haven't seen it
yet. Like the production and everything, also pretty good. The characters are good for different reasons. Emma Thompson, well, obviously not top Pam Ferris, but she's not a bad Miss Trunchbull. And this is just a great story about how good wins in the end. This is actually one of the few Roald Dahl stories where it doesn't have like a dark edge to it. Even Charlie and the Chocolate Factory has a dark edge to it. Ultimately, it does end happily.
The Witches is the darkest one.
Witches is one of the darkest ones. Mm-hmm. But there's always that like tinge of like, ooh. Mm-hmm. Or like a character loses something. Like in The Witches, the boy stays a mouse. Mm-hmm. In Fantastic Mr. Fox, he doesn't really get his tail back.
Mm-hmm.
And all that stuff. But yeah, it just shows the creativity and fantasy. And that is why we watch movies.
That's on the very, very good line, though. But it also, this is like one last of his books, right? On Roald Dahl?
Yes, it was. And became, this movie popularized the story. So, because of my F up, we're going to end with a movie that I've never seen, actually. It's interesting how we're going to if it's going to be a high note or not, but it will be interesting
mm-hmm.
because it's a Henry Selick movie produced by Tim Burton, and it is the second stop motion one with Disney.
Mm-hmm.
We decided to watch James and the Giant Peach, make it a full circle, started with a stop motion movie, going to end with a stop motion Roald Dahl movie.
It's like poetry, right?
And just the title itself, James and the Giant Peach. I mean, it's a boy that lives in a giant peach. Peaches are awesome. Sing, cue the music.
Peaches, 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 peaches. Yeah, but
and
yeah,
then,
this movie's amazing. And as always.
Where can the good people find it?
And as always, you can find me as always at Robert RDC on Twitter, Instagram, and on Letterboxd at Robert RDC. Please follow the podcast and its YNS pod on Twitter. Give us a review on Apple, Spotify, and the other ones in Ubi.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. We didn't really rate this thing. I know it's an 11 for you.
Yeah.
Solid 9.5.
Nice.
For me.
Nice.
Maybe that's nostalgia, but you know what? F you.
Also, great pacing. There is no slow moment in this movie.
Yeah, it's like barely like an hour.
What is it, like 90? 90 minutes?
Just about.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me look at the runtime real quick. 98 minutes.
Oh.
Hour and 38 minutes.
Nice.
Perfect time.
Nice.
But yes, you can follow me on Instagram at Billy Batson's Lightning. Nothing is capitalized. You can also follow me on Twitter and Letterboxd, even though I'm trying to use Twitter much less now, at Master of Puns 196. Every word starts with capital letter. See, I'm subverting the expectations. Usually I do it the other way. Got to switch it up. But you can also just follow the main show podcast, Twitter, at SYNS pod, as well as give us a 5-star on Apple, as well as just write a review on Apple and listen to us on Spotify, SoundCloud, Spotify for Podcasters, wherever podcasts can be listened to. And as always,
see you next summer. Dun, 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 dun. Out of the way, out of the way.